Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm super excited to be having Liz Teresa joining us today. Liz Teresa, founder of LizTeresa.com, has been helping entrepreneurs find clarity and uniquely market themselves with confidence for nearly a decade through her strategic website design, intuitive business mentorship, and clever copywriting services. She's also the creator of Concept to Creation, her flagship branding and web design program, and the host of the Liz on Biz podcast, which was named by Forbes as one of 12 small business podcasts that will help you sell more. Liz, thank you for joining us today.
Ah, Ashley, what a wonderful introduction. I'm so happy to be here. I should have you introduce me everywhere I go out. Whenever I go out, yeah.
Gladly.
And you can just be like, instead of like Liz Party of Two, you'd be like Liz Teresa, founder of LizTeresa.com, and say all that stuff.
Mic drop.
I like it.
Yes. Well, Liz, yes. I'm really happy that I'm going to be talking with you today. And I would love if you could first start us off with just talking about what you do and how you exactly got into this space.
This is a good question, because when I was a student, you know, way, way back, I thought business sounded so dumb and so boring. I had negative amount of interest in business. I was an English major and a theater minor, and I wanted to be an actor. I thought business was like my friends that sold makeup. So like when I say makeup, like they sold not Avon, but like whatever the hot makeup trend was at the time, they sold it. And I was like, oh, that's business. Ew. Like, and I thought that's what it was like MLMs. And then I came to realize, I was like, oh, wait, clearly it's not. But it took me a long time to realize that. I was in my graduate program at Bridgewater State University. After graduating from Stonehill, I went to go get a grad degree in English, because I had wanted to go into the entertainment industry and I wanted to be an actor. And then I was like, oh, this is garbage. I hate this industry. Because everybody in the entertainment biz, I mean, like, you're really, if you're an actor, your personal value is determined by other people. And that sucks. And so that's terrible. Rather, I would say that's terrible. And then I was like, okay, so I want to be in charge of my own value. I knew that much when I was getting my master's degree, but I didn't really know where that was going to lead. I wasn't exactly sure. So then while I was studying to get my master's, my parents' business was really struggling. This was like during the financial crisis in 2011. Because there was a financial crisis that really lasted from 2007 to 2012, 2013. It was a rough time to be a person in business. My parents owned a business and they were asking me for help. And I was like, they're like, try, I don't know, look up marketing, see what people do in marketing. And I was like, marketing. Like, it was like this like big word. And I was like, what do people in marketing actually do? Like, what is marketing? It was so like alien to me. And I was getting a master's degree. I was not an idiot. I just actually had no idea what marketing people actually did. I pictured like maybe you do commercials on television, like advertisements. That's what I thought of when I thought of marketing. I didn't really know that there was just like so many layers to understanding what marketing meant. So I read everything that there was to know, being the student that I was and being the English major person that I was. I became totally obsessed with this website called marketingprofs.com, and it still exists to this day. They were an agency then, but now it's even more obvious that they're an agency, and they still have a ton of resources for anyone looking to learn about marketing. It's an amazing website that I aspire to be them, to be honest, in so many ways. I think they're amazing. And I learned everything I could. I bought books called Internet Marketing for Dummies and Twitter for Dummies. I was all over Twitter at the time, which back then was the cool place to be. It was like a cocktail party. And now it's like, I don't know, a rave full of like dirty people. But back then it was a lot of fun. And to be there and to be highly engaged on Twitter, like it was easier to connect with fancy people then. And Jimmy Fallon follows me on Twitter, little known fact that you knew because you know me so well, but like other people probably don't know that. And then at any rate, as I read everything that I got to know, I was like, oh, hey, marketing is not so dumb. It's kind of interesting. And around the same time, there was an administrator at Bridgewater, and he owned his own internet marketing firm. And so he was like, I want to help fix your personal brand. And I was kind of offended because I was like, what's wrong with it? And then I was also like, of course, this was after I had the question of what is a personal brand and what's like, why are you looking at mine? I was like, it was kind of intrusive. I felt it was intrusive. But then he helped educate me, and then I taught him everything I knew about video editing. And then I would say, I think that so much I credit to my successes by meeting people like that, who sought to share their expertise with me and mentor me in a way, it's an informal way, but mentor me and provide me resources when I had questions. And it's by being, I think we're all like, we're lifetime students. I mean, like the learning doesn't stop when you start your business. And from that point, I kind of just became a freelancer because you couldn't get a job to save your life in 2011. Even with a graduate degree, I only got one interview and it didn't go great. So I called my mom, and I was so discouraged about the interview. And it wasn't even that it was a bad interview. They just told me at the interview, they were like, this job will suck the soul from your body, and I don't think you should take it. That's what they told me at the interview.
Wow.
Yeah. And like, you never forget words like that. And I walked to my car and I called my mom. And I'm like, I'm so frustrated. I can't get a job. I just want to help businesses market themselves. Because at this stage in the game, I'd learned everything that I could. I was so engrossed in what was hot at that moment, which was like words like engage and engagement. They were really being invented during that time, that you weren't seeking likes like necessarily, but you were seeking a conversation. And it was about creating a movement in your marketing. And I was so interested in this. And so I said to my mom, I just want to help businesses. And she was like, you don't need permission. Just go do that. And then I was like, boom. So then it was kind of like a huge moment for me where I was like, oh, so I don't need permit. I can just go to the business and say, hi, I can help you reach more people. I want to help elevate your presence online, and that they would give me money for that. And I was like, that is crazy. And then I reached a point where I decided that getting a job would be so dumb. I mean, so dumb. So I was like, I guess I'm going to really give everything I have to the business. And I do remember the feeling of all my friends being like, this is crazy. So, I mean, I had a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, I want to highlight one thing that you said specifically out of your story that I think will really resonate with a lot of people, especially because it struck a chord with me, was the fact that you said that you don't need permission to do what you want. I mean, you said, I can't get a job. I just went through grad school. This job that I just interviewed with said that if I did get the job, it sucked the life out of me. And you said that you really just want to help businesses with their online marketing, and your mom told you to just do it. And I think that that's something important that a lot of people need to keep in mind, is that if we want to start a business, we don't need permission from anyone except ourselves to go ahead and do it. Regardless of age or position or financial circumstances, we're the ones who are responsible for our happiness and success.
Oh yeah. I mean, and my mom, I mean, like, I wouldn't even say that she saw it, she kind of did give me permission, but like, she was reminding me that it's a choice. You know what I mean? And like, consider this your reminder. I feel like people listening to the show, like, you must know that this is a choice.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So knowing that that's how you got started with LizTeresa.com, what would you say was the most difficult part of starting your business at that age?
I would say it's kind of like you're spitballing so much and you're hungry. So you take every gig, and I did that. And I worked with all kinds of people doing all kinds of things, and my prices were here, there, and everywhere, because I would like detect if they would say yes, like intuitively. It would be like, that's kind of how I priced it. Like, I remember I would do flyer designs, and I would do like one-off flyer designs. But at the same time, I would be like, I'm managing this person's Facebook page. I'm like over here doing, and it was just a lot.
Right.
Right. And so I think I think you have to be really dirty and messy in the beginning. And if it's not messy, like, then it means you never got started. I think that like everybody waits for things to be perfect. Like, I'm going to have a logo and a perfect website, and I'll just know everything, and I'll have a program that I made up. But like, all that stuff, that should come with time. That's not stuff that you necessarily have day one, like a program that you take people through if you're in a service-based business. And I think that's a misconception people have.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think that what I have seen and what I believe to be true is that we often come to our success because of the mistakes that we've made. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially with service-based businesses, can relate to taking any type of job under the sun, working with any person that comes their way, just because they simply want to get the experience and get the money. So I think that even though, as you mentioned, it was something that was definitely difficult for you, I believe that that's also what led you to this point today.
Well, yeah, you have to get your hands dirty to wash them, right? Like you have to do things messy before you do them better. And that's just totally what it's totally part of it. And I think I think the other thing is, like, I don't know why this is true, but like maybe it's our culture, but like I feel like when you're a student and you're coming into the entrepreneurial world, I feel like as a student, there's so many people that were in my graduating class that were perfectionists. And they were like when a teacher assigned an essay, they'd be like, what size point font can I use? How many pages exactly should this paper be? Like, I remember these questions in college, people asking these questions, and in graduate school. And it's like, do it until you answer the question. Like, to me, I mean, right. I never thought on those terms. But those same people, I think if you're like a type A person and you go to start a business, your hurdle is yourself, and you self-sabotage every step of the way because you keep waiting to know if it'll work or not. Like I spoke to somebody this morning who is a woman in a service-based business, and she was saying to me that she created an entire digital program and then didn't launch it because she was afraid no one would buy it. Like she made it like last year and never launched it because she was just afraid. That the answer would be no. But if you don't ask, the answer's already no. So like she said no, so she could be safe from other people hurting her. Right?
Yeah.
That stinks. That's sad. I say your generation, Ashley, even though I know we're both millennials, but you're like such a young millennial. Are you technically something else? Are you Gen Z?
I think I'm like on the fine line. Depends on what website you're getting the source
from. Yeah. Okay. So like, I think that Gen Zers have a way harder time with around self-worth and measuring their own personal success because you guys grew up with Instagram, like in the fourth grade probably or something. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's so hard. Like I got Facebook because I had a college email address. I was like one of the first people to get Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, and like, I had to wait to get Facebook because it used to be, for folks listening that don't know that, you needed a .edu email address to get it.
Right.
Yes. So yeah, but I think it's hard. And I think that that can be a hurdle is like, this reflects the need for permission we just talked about, but like if you seek to do things and not be hurt, that's not the business you want to get in. And I think it's helpful that I mean entrepreneurship will be a tougher business for you to get in, but it was a service to me that I was an actor, because you get beaten down so hard when you're an actor because everything you do is wrong and you're corrected in every way. And I think it made me care less.
Yeah, that's actually, and I think that's a great trait to have of an entrepreneur, is almost taking everything with a grain of salt and kind of just realizing that what comes to you or the issues that come your way isn't always your fault. It could be other circumstances that are out of your control or other things that are happening that have nothing to do with you. And just being able to have that strength to keep moving forward despite the circumstances you have when starting your business is really important.
Yeah, I think that's huge. It helps a lot. And I'm not perfect. I don't, Ashley, you know, I get really mad and I get really upset and then I hate everybody. I flip tables, yeah. I break chairs. I break chairs. I don't really, people think that like my house is full of broken furniture now, but like it's true. I get mad too, but like, I think that I have developed a thicker skin for when somebody's like, I don't like that. Like if they say something to me, or I'm taken aback by you, Liz, or like, you know, you, that hurt. Like, I don't like what you designed. I mean, then I'm just like, oh, that sucks for you. Excuse me, Ashley. I'm so sorry. That stinks for you. I think as a designer too, and you're in MySpace where you're designing websites and the like, you're obviously more vulnerable to being criticized. But I felt for this person because I was like, when you're not delivering because you're afraid something's not perfect, you're not providing the value and you're not sharing your gift with the world. And that is so sad.
Yep. Yep. 100%. So now that you've really talked about the fact that starting your business was difficult due to the fact that you just accepted anything and everything under the sun, what would you say was the most rewarding part, to put on the flip side?
Not having a boss. I had a horrible boss when I worked for Bridgewater State University. He was extremely abusive and horrible. And I never really formally announced it like this, but fine. He was awful. And he knew he was awful. So it's not that big a deal. And I don't even think he's still there. But because I had a bad boss, I was like, well, I loved the idea that nobody could, like, I guess, tear me down on a daily basis, and that I could, and then you can do the cool things, like get a manicure on a Tuesday. You know, like, you can do the things that you picture when people have businesses. That was like my vision of an entrepreneur, was that you're not actually working, of course. So I'm thinking of like, and that stuff is true. I mean, like, you have to work hard to succeed, but you get, I liked the perks of just having the freedom. I mean, especially now with a baby, life is way better because I own a business.
Yes, exactly. And I think that one of the most important things you just said is that the most rewarding thing isn't money. I mean, money was not your answer. It was the fact of just freedom, of having control over who you work with and how much money you make, and control over your schedule and control over what you do, which I think is one of the greatest benefits to have.
And I mean, control over how much money you make is loose. Only because for me, my line of business is like, I have some people where I get retainers, but like, in retainers for folks listening would be like monthly recurring income that appears in your checking account in exchange for you doing something. But like, I have so many, like, my business is based on gross. So like volume. So I have to sell a lot of small projects or a bunch of big ones. And that's how it works. So for better, for worse, but you know, yeah, I mean, but I am still in charge of it. So like, if I'm tired, maybe I make a little less and I think I'm okay with it.
Yes, exactly. Well, what would you say is the one thing that you've done that led you to this success throughout the past near decade?
Hiring someone. Never be afraid to invest in your business. And I would say, I mean, like, I remind certain people of that all the time and I think of certain clients of mine where I'm like, oh my gosh, just hire somebody to do the thing. Because the more people you hire, the more you're freed up to actually focus on sales and marketing. And the more you focus on sales and marketing, your problem will become that you don't have enough time to quote every quote, or you don't have enough time to like follow up on every lead. And if that's your problem, that's a wonderful problem to have in business. That's like the best problem I've ever heard. Yeah. And it's so doable, but like, it's all through hiring high quality talent. And there's great resources out there for hiring. I've certainly got it wrong before, but like, I think that, like, what is it? When you put it out there, the universe will come to meet you where you are and give you what you need. So I that's what I believe. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but it's true. And for me, I remember the first time I hired somebody, I was like, I had a client and she had to launch something at midnight. And so I had developed everything like days before, and then it was the day. And then because I didn't know exactly how to cue the launch. And oftentimes, actually, for midnight launches, you do have to press the button. And so, like, I had to go downstairs, press a button, and then go back up to bed. And I remember going downstairs at, like, 11:50 to sit at my computer. And then at midnight, I hit publish. And then it was launched. And then I went to sleep. And then as I remember going back upstairs, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I worked so hard, and I'm up at midnight because I had to press a button to go live or something, right, for somebody. So then I also made a rule. I was like, no more midnight launches for anyone, because that's just asinine. No one's awake buying your product, no matter how great it is, at midnight. You're not the iPhone. So that's my first rule. And then the second rule was, I'm going to now hire somebody. So then, you know, God forbid I have to do this again, I'm not the one doing it. And so I hired my developer, Zach, who you know very well, Zach, who's amazing. Everybody loves him. Yeah. And it was because I remember laying in bed and I was like, I'm ready to attract, like, you know, somebody awesome to help compliment me. And I'm willing to invest in it, because like, I had cash, you know, when it, you in like, and I think too, people assume that if they start paying someone, they won't have money, but you make more every time. You really do. Like, just listen, you do. I pay so many people so much money every month that like, it makes me a little nauseous telling you, but like I do, I pay a ton of people and I still live in a nice house and have a baby and I don't work 40 hours a week. I work like 20 to 30.
If you weren't going to say that line, I was, because that is the exact line that you said to me when I hired my first person was, in order to make more money, you have to spend money. And I remember that I was so conflicted about it because I was like, well, what if I can't pay myself, or what if all my money is going to this? And then all of these other issues started coming up and I started worrying about more things. But thanks to your time audit suggestion, what I did was basically track all of the tasks that I did that were either monotonous, tedious, or administrative that pretty much anyone else could do. And I realized that they were taking me like 20 to 30 hours per month. And I was like, oh my gosh, imagine how much more I could do if I had an additional 20 to 30 hours. And so once you had kind of pushed me to hire someone to handle all the things that I just didn't want to do anymore, I saw the actual benefits that came from that of getting more clients and making more money because I had more time to focus on that. So it's true, but it's definitely a mindset thing of being like, I just need to actually take this leap in order for better things to happen.
And it's like entrepreneurship, the entire thing is a risk anyway. I mean, you're betting on yourself. That is what you're doing when you start a business. And you have to put money down on the table if you want to make any money in that hand. You know what I'm saying? If we're talking about poker, you have to put money in. Otherwise, you'll get nothing back. But you make more. And I'm so glad that you shared that because people need to hear it. That's the thing everybody does too late. Like when they start a business, they're always like, I'm not ready to. Like, newsflash, guys, there's no ready. There's never a ready. There's just a do it or die. You do it or you don't do it. So like, if you don't do it, you stay where you are, you spin that hamster wheel, and life is going to go on as it is. If you like your life as it is and you don't want to be any bigger or make any more money, then like sit pretty because you're fine. But like, if you want to aim higher and if you want your business to be a community and you want it to be a movement and you want to help more people, because like, this is what we have to remember. As entrepreneurs and as people listening that are budding entrepreneurs, you clearly believe in yourself in some regard. You clearly have some kind of value you provide to the world. And even if you're doing something as like simple as like, I can't even think of, maybe like not even simple isn't the right word, but maybe if you're doing like VA monotonous tasks, let's actually throw that out there. And you're like, well, that's not like a passion. I just like to help people. Well, girl, go do the thing, like help more people. And by not marketing yourself, like that's a disservice because the people that need you are not going to find you. They're not. They're Ashley.
Exactly right.
They're oftentimes the people that need you are Ashley, and they're afraid to hire you to begin with. They're terrified. Yes.
I know. Because I always say, like, this is one of my sayings that I really remember, is that the saying, build it and they will come, is no longer relevant. Like, you have to actively go out and believe that what you want will come to you. You have to actually put in the work to get there.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a wedding and don't invite anybody, it's a wedding for just you and your husband.
Exactly.
No one's going to know to come. I mean, like if you think about it like that, with weddings are really just marketing. You're inviting people. You even send them a save the date before the actual invitation. You're nurturing them to come to your wedding. You send them your registry. I mean, come on, guys. A wedding is a business itself.
I know.
If you really think about it, use that analogy. But yeah, nobody's going to come to something if they don't know what's happening. And they also need to be told multiple times.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Exactly. Yeah. And so now that we know that hiring definitely led you to your success, I want to ask you this. So if there was one thing you wish you did differently, or something that you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Ooh, that's good. What would it be and why? I think it's, something that I think you could always do sooner, and something that I wish I could go back to tell myself to do more, although I did this a lot, is own your power, as an individual and as a business owner. And what I mean by that is see your own value, because especially if anybody's going into our line of work, and I say ours because Ashley, your line of work as the owner of Dash and Social is very similar to mine in as the owner of Liz Teresa, because we are serving other businesses. And I think when you are starting out in serving in a B2B way, or even if you're B2C, like there's this like very stupid idea that the customer's always right. It's very stupid. They're not. they're never right. You're right first, okay? It doesn't mean that you should tell them that they don't matter, but you're right. The customer is not always right. And what I mean by that is you'll get stomped on. It's even like the word VA, for example, like virtual assisting. I think it's the most damaging word psychologically for people that decide to be a VA, because you're just an assistant. And like you say things like, oh, I'm just a VA over here being a VA. And there's, it's the, even the just in the statement I just said yes. to you. And it's like, and if you're an assistant, then like it gives your clients power to be Devil Wears Prada all over you and like abuse you, you know, and not treat you like a human. And so like anytime I've hired a VA, I'm like, you're safe here. Like you're safe. Everything's going to be okay, because they get like, they take so many licks. And I even remember when I started my business, I got pushed around a lot by a few of my clients. Cause I think I was considered a VA, although I never marketed myself that way because I thought it was too disempowering a term. So I think I called myself like a project manager. Cause I was like a project mm-hmm. manager, website developer. Cause that's kind of what I did in the beginning by myself. And so I remember marketing myself that way because I would see VAs, they would be called stupid. They would be called like, why didn't you think of this? Like they would be blamed for everything. It was awful. And so I think owning your power, and I think we can all do that better. But I think in the beginning, there's so much imposter syndrome that stops you from accepting your awesomeness.
Yeah.
But if you were going to accept your awesomeness, you would be sounding like a big fake. But like whatever you can do to build yourself up is important. And when I say you build yourself up, it has to come from you. You have to decide that you're the best at what you do. And whatever you need to do to convince yourself of that, do it. Because that can't come from the outside. It never will. Even testimonials that like in like client stories, all of that stuff you see on websites where people are like, Liz Teresa is so great. Blah, 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 right? That's all well and good, but I'm great because of what I do, not what people say.
Right.
So walk your stuff. What am I trying to say? Walk your walk, Ashley. Walk your walk, and own your awesome earlier. Because I think we don't. I think we enter in if we keep saying I'm just a startup or I'm just starting out. If the just is the thing that's going to hurt you.
Yes, and I love that, especially in two different aspects. So one, owning your stuff and knowing your value when it comes to who you work with, because I think we've all been in situations before where we speak to someone and we're like, not really sure if they're a good fit, but I really want the money. I really want the experience. I'm going to do it anyway. And turns out our gut was right. They weren't a good fit. And that's because we didn't own our value or see the power in ourselves to walk away and accept bigger and better projects that can come our way. And secondly, we're kind of lowballing ourselves and discounting our prices and therefore devaluing our expertise to people just because we want the sale. And that's because we're not owning our power. But when we stand firm in what we charge, it shows that we are confident in what we're doing. We know we can bring results and we can make this client or customer satisfied. And so those are two of the biggest things I think are really helpful with owning your power, as you mentioned, both as a professional and as a person. And it's definitely something hard to get used to and adjust to, but it makes you so much better in the long run. So I'm really glad that you had mentioned that, because I think it's a really valuable lesson.
Well, it's like even just like be the CEO.
Right.
You're a CEO. What is the CEO version of you like wear? What does she say? How does she show up differently than you're showing up now? You know?
Exactly.
That's huge.
Agreed. I think you said it perfectly.
Oh, thank you.
But kind of
get out of here, you.
I know. I'm your hype woman.
I know. Always, always.
So now that we've really focused on what you wish you could have done differently, going along with that, why do you think it's so important for people to start businesses specifically at a young age?
I think you have nothing to lose. You really have nothing to lose. Oftentimes you live with your mom or your dad and you know, you're not paying rent, or if you are paying rent, that's it. okay? For folks, oftentimes if you're paying rent, you're living in the city, so you don't have a car. Or if you have car and rent, that's nothing compared to owning a house. You don't have a lot to lose when you're young, usually, and you usually don't have a baby or a husband to talk you out of doing something. Although my husband's extremely supportive of me, but I do see a lot of women business owners being like, I gotta ask my husband about this. And I'm like, oh, it's so dumb. He doesn't own your business. dummy. No, I'm just kidding. I get it, but I don't like it. But yeah, you have nothing to lose. And I think like you have to remember that when you're young, you don't quite remember it. Cause you're like, but what if it doesn't work out? But like, really, like what if, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
Like nothing. I can't, you tell me, Ashley, what is the worst that can happen? You can't pay your student loan. So you defer it. And then like what, you're living with your parents. Parents are great. Usually, or you could live with like your cool brother or aunt. You know what I mean? Like someone will take you.
Right.
And I think what's funny is like when you realize what the worst thing is, it's oftentimes not that bad.
And that is a really great statement to say, especially because that's a lot of the reasons why people don't do it so young is because they're like, well, I have so many different things to worry about, but you're like one of many people who I've had this same exact conversation with who have all said the same thing where they're like, when you're young, you don't have those bills to pay except for maybe a few small ones. You don't have any real responsibilities because you're able to live with your parents and you may or may not have a child, but you have so many other things that you don't really have to be worrying about. And so if you start your business young, if you end up not working out with it or it doesn't go through the way that you wanted it to, you really have nothing to lose. And then when you graduate college and move on, you have this opportunity to move into a different career if that's what you wanted to, because you have this time where you're not necessarily playing or testing, but it's almost like a trial period to see how it really works before you end up actually entering that cliche real world everyone talks about. So now you have the time to be focusing on stuff like this.
It's interesting because I even remember that there was this Dear Abby article. You know Dear Abby, right?
Yes.
Vice column? Okay. I'm just like, I know you're young, but come on. Yeah. No, yeah, you know that. So this woman wrote in and she was like, Dear Abby, I have all these regrets. And she's like, I have all these regrets in my life and I wanted to be a lawyer and I never got my law degree. And now I'm like 45 and I would be 49 or something when I finished getting my law degree. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm so sad. I'm not going to be a lawyer. And then the lady signs her name. And then Abby's like, yo, like, or she didn't say yo. She probably said hi. But she was like, do you want to be 49 with a law degree? Or do you want to be 49 without a law degree? And Whoa. Then the woman went to law school. Yeah.
That is a powerful question. Rhetorical question, but powerful.
Right? It is. And that's exactly it. It's kind of like, you know, I say you're young and you have nothing to worry about, but even if you're not young, like this, I mean, how do you see yourself in 5 years in the perfect way? Like, I mean, I remember asking myself that and I was like, I don't know, but I did want hardwood floors and now I have a house with hardwood floors. So, but like you should picture it like that, like hardwood floors. I want you to like think like, what is the best case scenario? Like if things really work out for me, how do I want my life to look? And why don't you just start building your life to look like that now? That's not so crazy.
Yes. And I also look at it too, that the younger you start, the more time you have to make a bigger impact. Of course, there's no shame in someone starting late in the game, but if you start younger, then you have so many more years to really focus on building yourself up. And then you can have even more accomplishments than you would have normally had if you started later. So I like to look at it as a positive aspect because it just gives you more time and opportunity. And who doesn't want more of either of those?
Right. Well, it's funny too. I think about myself when I was young and I was talking about this yesterday because I did a webinar about mission statements with a client of mine and it was like with her team. And I was talking to them about how when I started my business, I didn't have a mission statement because I didn't really care about my impact on the world, not to be awful. But like when you're young, I was like 22, and this is not to say this is all your listeners, Ashley, but like sometimes like my thinking was I just want to make money and not have to go get a job because jobs sound awful. And they do, don't they? They sound awful.
Yeah.
And so like, I was like, I just want to make some money here and have some fun in my business. And that's what I want to do. And I think like when, if somebody had told me like, why don't you make, like, how are you making an impact? I would be like, I don't know. I'm helping this lady sell leggings. Isn't that, do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't have been clear on that. But I think it's like, when you realize you make an impact, it's like, it's so heartwarming. But I think it's like, you don't know, if you don't think you're important enough to make an impact sometimes when you're in your 20s.
But you are.
Even if you, yeah, but you are. You just, it's what it is that you don't see it. So I challenge folks listening, if you're like, I'm not creating a movement, or like, I don't really make an impact. I mean, if you're, because I think it's possible to start a business and not know that. But I would actually say you are, and take a breath and assess what you're actually doing in your job. And I think you'd be amazed at like at the lives you're actually changing for the better, you know?
I love that. And I think that leads us perfectly into this next portion, which is, what is the last piece of advice that you'd like to leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting?
That there is no ready and there is no perfect, and just do it.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. Because I mean, I always say that if you come up with an excuse, you can always come up with excuses for something. I mean, there's always going to be something that you can think of that will prevent you from moving forward in the direction that you want to take. So if, knowing that you can always come up with an excuse no matter what, why not do it anyway?
Yeah, do it when you're not ready. Do it in the car, on your phone, buy the domain. I mean, there's so many things. Like, it doesn't have to be a big sit down, let's make a business. It really just means show up and start getting paid for things. Get a client, do something. I mean, like, that's all it really is. And I think when we drill it back and pull everything back, and I love branding, but pull everything back and take everything away, it's value in exchange for money. So go provide some value and go collect some money.
Boom.
Yeah.
Liz, well, you've shared such amazing insight and advice throughout this podcast. And now I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online so that if they would like to ask you further questions or connect with you.
Yeah, everybody go check me out, LizTeresa.com. I'm at Liz Teresa on Instagram. Liz Teresa is spelled LizTheresa. Or you can go find me anywhere you podcast. So my podcast is called Liz on Biz. It is a grand old time. Ashley here has been on the show probably multiple times.
I think twice, I feel like.
Yeah, we have good fun. So come on and listen to us.
Yes. And I'll also be putting these links in the show notes. So that way, if any of you happen to miss them, you'll be able to easily click through and engage with Liz there. But Liz, thank you so much again for joining us. I know that people will find this really amazing.
Yay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.